Being the Difference. It's called Be the Difference, Rise to the Challenge. Do we have a look at that beautiful slide we have. Isn't that nice? How many of you know that we're not just called to just exist in this world? Somebody say amen. That, believe it or not, your life has a purpose. That you are here to make a difference. Not just to make a difference, you're here to be a difference. How many of you know that you can be the difference for somebody? Don't get quiet on me now. Because, listen, guys, we have a responsibility in the earth to reflect the goodness of the God that we serve. And like it or not, God has chosen us to partner with to expand his kingdom in the earth. That he has chosen us to be the difference in the world. Somebody say amen. That's why we do this thing called church. We don't do this thing called church because church is just this incredible idea, which it is, by the way. We do church because God has a purpose over us. There is a purpose in our community. There is a purpose in our relationships with one another. Amen? There is a purpose with our planting in this community. It's for us to be a difference, and it's time for us as the church to rise to the challenge to be the difference. Listen, guys, I need to know, and listen, I'm just talking to River Church today because that's the only church I have the microphone in this morning. But I need to know that if we were to not be here tomorrow, that our community would feel it. That Wise County would feel it. If something were to happen and the church were to dissolve overnight, we need to know that it would be a difference. Come on. Amen? We need to be so valuable to our community and the people that we serve that they begin to say, we could not live in this community without the River Church. Come on, you guys okay? That we got to be the difference. Now listen, I get it. We come to church and we want to be blessed. How many of you are blessed already this morning? Amen? But God doesn't just bless you to make you blessed, fat, and happy. God blesses you to equip you for purpose. Amen? Guess what? You have a mission. Guess what? You have to do something. Come on, you guys okay? Say, Pastor James, all I want to do is sit around and be blessed and not really do anything. So what you're saying is you want to have a life of insignificance. Oh, you didn't know you had to wear your steel toes today, did you? Right? Listen, I'm encouraging us. Listen, every single one of us is put on this earth to be the difference for somebody else. I'm going to tell you right now, 99% of what you do will never be famous, but it'll be shouted from the halls of heaven. Amen? And we need to be the difference. You guys okay this morning? I want to talk a little bit this morning about just starting us off. There are many examples in Scripture we could go to about being the difference, but one that I like to key in on because of the time that he lived in and the trouble that he lived in. And quite frankly, the world he lived in was a complicated world. How many of you would agree that we live in complicated times? Guess what? We are not the only people to have ever lived in complicated times. Right? Scripture is full of people who lived through complication. And I want to key in on one figure because it would seem that if anybody had a right to complain, if anybody had a right to bellyache, it would be a young man called Daniel. How many of you ever heard of Daniel in Scripture? Right? How many of you ever heard in Sunday school the stories of Daniel in the lion's den? Yeah? Remember what Daniel, he refused to quit praying to his God. And they turned him in and they threw him in the lion's den. And God did a miracle for him, shut the mouths of the lions. And then later the king came and said, looking for him, Daniel, are you still alive? And Daniel was like, yep, I'm here. God has saved me. He shut the mouth of the lion. And the king was so grateful Daniel was alive that he got so angry with the men who set him up, he threw them in the lion's den. And they were devoured. See, Daniel lived in some troubling times. And we're going to talk a little bit about him this morning. If we look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 12. And this is an important scripture to look at. It says, because an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. How many of you would like to have that name? You go from Daniel to Belteshazzar. Imagine filling that application out right there, right? Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Or another one says it like this: call Daniel, and he will tell you. How many of you know that Daniel was in a position of influence? And whenever something went wrong, whenever there was trouble, they would say, call Daniel, he knows what to do. Call Daniel, he'll figure it out. And by the way, these were not God-fearing people. These were he was removed from his home and placed into a pagan society. He was brought into a society where his God was looked down upon. He was brought into a society where he was stolen from his homeland. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And whenever something happened, Daniel was such a person of making a difference, of being the difference, that whenever they needed something, they would say, call Daniel. Now, how many of you know that God is wanting to position you in some sphere of influence where when something happens, people go, you know what? Call Angel. Call Skyler. He'll know what to do. Come on. That God wants us to be the difference to somebody, somewhere. Amen? It may not be to kings, but it may be to a family that you are setting up generational blessing for because you were the difference. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's get into the notes here today. Some people are just different. Somebody say amen. And make a difference for God wherever they go. And Daniel was one of these people. He was a difference maker. And the truth is we can be the same. Amen. God didn't put Daniel in Scripture by accident. He put him in there so that we would see an example. Amen. We have to become students a little bit of Daniel's life and look at the difference he made and why he made a difference. And that's what we're going to do in the next few minutes this morning. Making a difference for God, I want to say this real quick, does not require a diploma. It doesn't require a microphone. It doesn't require a title. Come on. How many of you are grateful that you don't have to meet the world's qualifications to meet God's qualifications? Amen. As a matter of fact, I can say some of those things could even hinder you at some point, right? All it really takes is devotion to who God is, devotion to God Himself, and the conviction of who we are and what we believe in, what we stand for in life. See, conviction is not a bad word, right? How many of you know we have to have conviction? We have to know who we are, that God has called us to be. And we have to have the conviction to be able to stand firm in the things that God has called us to do. Daniel was a tremendous example of standing firm in tumultuous times. Standing firm in troubled times. This is what Daniel displayed in his life and why he made a difference in his time. He had an astonishing record as a person of influence. And it was shown by an incident during the reign of King Belshazzar. How many of you love that name? The second king Daniel served under, when the king faced something he could not explain, that's what this passage of Scripture, the queen said to him, call Daniel. See, Daniel lived his life in the service of kings. Daniel was an incredible influence. Now, let's talk a little bit about Daniel's world at the time and just listen, and I'll lay it out for you. Dan lived in the time where there were three world superpowers at the time: the Babylonian Empire, which is now modern-day Iraq, the Persian Empire, and the Median Empire. And these empires dominated most of the known world militarily and economically. Everything that worked, worked because those three empires were in motion. Amen? Daniel was a man caught between empires. How many of you know that we live in a world that's caught between empires? Amen? Daniel was just a teenager. Some scholars believe he was between the ages of 14 and 16 years old when we first learn about him in Scripture. And for most of his life, Daniel seemed to live against the odds, always making a difference everywhere he went. He was exposed to war. He must have seen his plenty of his fair share of violence and killings, possibly even his own family members being killed before his eyes. He was the victim of exile. What that means was when Daniel was between the ages of 14 and 16 years old, his town was invaded. The Babylonians came in and invaded. And what they had a habit of doing was taking all the brightest and the smartest, killing off their families and taking them into exile into Babylon. So between the age of 14 and 16, Daniel probably watched his entire family die and was taken prisoner into a pagan culture where they even changed his name, forced him to speak a new language, forced him to be something he wasn't. Come on. They marched him from his home some 900 miles back. How many of you know 900 miles is a long way away from home? Amen? Especially in the day and age where there were no airplanes. That to Daniel must have felt like he was being marched to the other end of the world. Amen? And he had to walk it. Y'all, I get tired if I got to walk to get the mail. He was the victim of exile. Walked 900 meters or miles to another country. Daniel arrived in Babylon, facing a bleak future as a slave with no freedom and very little say over his own life. And part of the reason that we're talking about this is to illustrate that even when we face tough times, we can still make a difference for God. Amen? See, Daniel didn't make excuses. Daniel made a difference. Way too often, because we're too busy making excuses, we make no difference at all. Come on. He didn't make excuses. He made a difference. So let's look at some things. He was orphaned. His parents killed during the Babylonian invasion. Exiled to a strange land. Found himself in a foreign culture with a foreign language. Given a heathen name, meaning Belteshazzar, which means their god's name in Babylon was Bel. And it means Bel protect his life. How many of you know they even called him by a name that forced him, his name, to even acknowledge a false god? Amen? They stripped him of his identity. They took away everything they could from him. He faced just an absolute demonic religion that did sacrifice and, you know, killed humans and did all sorts of different things. He was exposed to constant indoctrination where he lived. And later, he had to deal with jealousy and persecution from state officials that saw that Daniel was too talented, too gifted, and too blessed. But despite all of this, Daniel triumphed. And he did so through the reign of four kings. Come on. Can I express to you how powerful that is? Daniel didn't just survive the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonians were taken over by the Persians. And not only did he serve the Babylonian kings, he rose to the top for the Persian kings. He outlived four kings. Because he was faithful to God and God was with him. Amen? And every single king all recognized the same thing. Daniel was a difference maker. Keep Daniel close. Isn't that awesome? As a matter of fact, some evidence points to the fact that, you know what, Daniel actually never got to go home for the rest of his life. He never returned to Israel. There's some theologians actually believe at the time when Nehemiah went back, how many of you know the story in Nehemiah? That Nehemiah went back and began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Some say that Daniel was actually still alive when that happened. Yet he was too old to make the journey home. Daniel probably longed for his home country, and he probably never laid eyes on it again. Yet he made a difference where he was. Isn't that awesome? You guys okay? Fascinating person in Scripture. But he triumphed through the reign of four kings, and God elevated him to a position of power and authority. And in the end, he was the third most powerful person in the entire kingdom under King Darius. Isn't that awesome? He went from being an exiled slave as a boy to the third most powerful person in the Persian Empire because Daniel was a difference maker. It's interesting to note that the opportunity to make a difference does not always announce itself with a grand press release or victorious shouting. Amen? Daniel had no idea in advance what he was walking into. How many of you know Daniel probably would have had an easier time if the Lord would have showed up and said, hey, Daniel, by the way, I know this moment's really hard. I know this moment's challenging. But just, you know what, stick with it because you're going to be the third most powerful person through empires. Right? How many of you know that probably would have made Daniel's days, a few of his days a little bit easier. But how many of you know oftentimes our purpose doesn't come with a proclamation and announcing. The difference you make is often found through struggle. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but sometimes it's your struggle that people are watching that makes the difference. You okay? Because had Daniel never been thrown in the lion's den, we would not have the story about Daniel in the lion's den. Right? I mean, we know he had to endure it. But because of that story, how many people have been brought to faith? It made it into Scripture. Isn't that awesome? You guys okay today? It seems all too often the opportunity to make a difference rides on the back of events, real-life crisis, and real-life traumas. That's when the moment comes to be the difference. See, being the difference isn't always felt when everything's good. Being the difference shines in moments of real-life crisis. So when you're going through something, that's how you can know that there could be purpose in the pain. Amen. So let's talk about how Daniel did it this morning. You want to take notes? You can write some of this down. Daniel made a phenomenal difference in these following ways, and I'm just going to move quickly so we can end on time this morning. The first one is by God's word. By God's word. I mean, you know, Daniel lived by the word of the Lord. Amen. At crucial times, he shared God's word with people of influence. Now, before we move on to the second one, let me tell you how this was. Daniel had a gift of interpreting dreams. And kings would have these dreams, and these dreams would unsettle them. And they would say, call for David, because David knows how to sort this stuff out. David knows how to make sense of this. Let me ask you a question. Are you the person bringing the word of the Lord in your environment, in your situation? And so David would come in, and the king would say, this is the disturbing dream I had. And Daniel would say, this is what the Lord is saying. Amen? How many of you know that every day we encounter people who are going through confusing times, confusing moments, trouble? People come to us as pastors for counseling all the time. I'm going to tell you, the last thing you need in counseling is my opinion. As a matter of fact, my opinion's not good for much. What you need is the word of the Lord. What does the Lord say? So we have to be people who can walk into difficult situations and say, this is what the Lord says. Not because we're making it up, but because we know the word. Come on. Right? We know the word. God has given you His word. Come on. Listen, and listen, I am somebody who believes in the prophetic. I believe in prophetic words. I believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. But I'm going to tell you right now, we got too many people jumping around looking for some sort of prophetic word when they've got an entire word right here. Sometimes you need a scripture before you need a prophecy. Then once we get the scripture, if the Holy Spirit wants to inform it, He can. You guys okay with this? But we need to be people who understand the word, because by the word of God, we make a difference. You don't need, listen, you're never going to solve problems based on your opinion. You have to solve problems based on the principles found in God's word. And you must regard the principles of God's word higher than your own opinions. I'm going to tell you something right now. There are some things in this scripture that makes me uncomfortable. There are days when I'm like, Lord, I even have trouble preaching that. But you don't need my opinion. What does the word say? That's what matters. Amen? You guys good? The word, we have to know the word, guys, because there are people that are depending upon us that have no connection with who God is for us to walk in, and they're looking for wisdom, they're looking for understanding. And how many of you know God's ways work? And if we would just do things God's way, even when it's challenging, even when it's hard, even when it kind of hurts our feelings and our emotions a little bit, if we will just do things God's way, the sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? God's way always leads to prosperity. Every time. You guys okay? So they called for Daniel because he knew God's word. Second one. Daniel was the difference with his God-given gifts. How many of you know God has blessed every single one of us with gifts, talents, and abilities? Daniel just knew how to use his for God's purpose. Every single one of you has a gift and a talent and an ability that God has gifted to you for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to build the kingdom. Amen? How many of you know you can build the kingdom without ever preaching a sermon? As a matter of fact, we probably need, this might hurt, we might need a few less sermons and a few more kingdom builders out there doing stuff. But I'm still going to preach next week, so you might as well show up, so. I like kingdom builders in classrooms. Amen? Teachers. I like kingdom builders in corporate offices. I like kingdom builders on construction sites. I like kingdom builders on oil rigs. Amen? I just saw Travis there. I definitely want a kingdom builder taking care of my airplane that I'm about to fly on. Somebody say amen, yeah? I want kingdom builders that use their gifts, their talents, and their abilities that God gave them. I want musicians. I want them to sing. I want them to play in Jesus' name. Amen? I want artists to paint in Jesus' name and sculpt in Jesus' name. Amen? I want authors to write and build the kingdom. I want dancers to dance and build the kingdom. Is this okay? This is the good stuff, guys. Because building the kingdom is so much more than what we do on a Sunday morning. This is only part of it. All this is the refilling station for you to go into all the world, amen? And do what God made you to do. Be who God made you to be. That's what we want. And Daniel understood that. He made a difference by using the gifts God gave him to interpret dreams. And I'm going to read this scripture. We see it in Daniel. It starts in chapter 1. But we shouldn't use the talents and gifts God gives us to only build a career or to enrich ourselves, but rather to develop and devote them for His purposes of making a difference. And we cannot sleep on our gifts and our talents. They're powerful instruments of change in your world and in your community. They come in the form of natural skills or abilities, such as I just said, as art or teaching, as well as a very spiritual gift, such as prophecy and healing. And you can't elevate one above the other because they're all gifts from God. Amen? As far as we know, Daniel actually never functioned directly in a spiritual gift such as healing, according to Scripture. But he applied his spiritual gifts in very practical ways in real life settings. See, Daniel probably didn't appear too spiritual. He probably would walk into our modern church culture, and Daniel would be the guy who would say, "Wow, you know, really great service, and I see there was prophesying, and people were shouting and dancing, and the band was awesome. How's the administration going? Are things organized according to the way they need to be?" How many of you know that is not the flashiest gift? Amen. But see, Daniel operated in wisdom and understanding. Daniel wasn't at the front screaming and shouting and laying hands on everybody. Daniel was in the ear of the king saying, "This is the direction we need to go, and this is how we need to get there." Daniel was an administrator with wisdom. Now listen, I am a big idea person, and I need administrators around me. Right? How many of you know big idea people and administrators are kind of like oil and water sometimes? Right? So God loved me so much, He had me marry an administrator. Right? Y'all, I would be a hot mess. if I didn't have somebody administrating. You know what I mean? I'd be from this idea to this idea to that idea to that idea. I'm already enough of a mess without it. But how many of you know sometimes that can cause friction? But it's necessary for the big vision to happen. You have to have people who can say, and this is how we get there. That was Daniel. You guys okay? He used his talents and his abilities to prosper in real life settings. And the third thing he did is by the way he lived. How many of you know lifestyle matters? Can I say that again? Lifestyle matters. Daniel's lifestyle caught people's attention because of his conviction and commitment to God. Even as a young man, he lived without compromise, and he was a man of principle and a man of prayer. How many of you know Daniel rubbed some people the wrong way because he refused to step back from his conviction and his commitment to God? That's how he got himself thrown in a lion's den. How many of you know not everybody's always going to be happy with the way you do things? Yeah? But you have to live according to the conviction of the word and what God has said. And see, Daniel committed to that even from a very young age. We even see it in Daniel chapter 1. I'm not going to read it, but there was a moment where they brought all the young men in, and they began to place in front of them food that was considered defiled for a good Hebrew boy. And they brought the wine, and they brought the food, and Daniel said to them, he said, listen, I can't eat this. I can't eat this. He said, as a matter of fact, I challenge you. Let us eat what we want for 40 days, and you feed the others for 40 days your stuff and see who's healthier at the end. And he refused to defile himself with the food and wine that was placed in front of him. And at the end of 40 days, guess who was proven right? A 14 to 16-year-old boy named Daniel, who refused to bend on his conviction. Guys, that happens in chapter 1 of Daniel. And Daniel never stops living that life of conviction, that lifestyle. He never stopped praying with the window open so that all could see. He never bowed to the kings when they asked him to bow to the kings and make the kings Lord. Come on. Daniel was friends with three young men you might know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you ever heard that story? Right? Those were friends of Daniel's. Those were other examples of people who refused to sacrifice their lifestyle. Amen? He also captured the leader's attention and made a difference because of his excellence and wisdom with which he did things in the realm of his everyday life. And God gives us this type of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And in Daniel chapter 1:17, it says this. We don't have to put it up, guys. It says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kind. And what was interesting is he was accredited in Scripture with an excellent spirit. How many of you want to live with an excellent spirit? Amen? Sometimes we can make a difference in an instant or through a one-off action, as in the case of Daniel's three friends that we just talked about in the fiery furnace. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is incredible, because what happened was they would say to him, when the trumpet blows, you're going to bow down and worship the statue of the king. Well, there is no God but the one true God, the Hebrew children said. Amen? And when the trumpet blew, they refused to bow. We're going to give you one more time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I want you to pay attention. We're going to give you one more time. Blow the trumpet. They did not bow. All the time, the king is just getting angrier and angrier and angrier, right? If you don't bow this time, we're throwing you in the furnace. Boys, this is life and death now. They look at each other. And in this one moment, they had to make a choice to make a difference. And they knew it would cost them their life. Such was their commitment. Such was their refusal that when the sound went, they didn't bow again. The king was so angry, he ordered the fires to be lit up 7 times hotter. So much so that the people who were building the fire died. And then they throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in it. And Daniel's watching all this, by the way. And the king comes and he looks and he says, "Didn't we throw 3 boys in there?" "Yes." "Then why do I see a 4th? And why are they walking around with their bonds burned off, yet no fire is touching them?" It says that the smell of smoke wasn't even on them. Isn't that awesome? In that moment, those 3 young men made a difference in that one action. Amen? And they're credited in that one action. And there are times when that one action makes a difference, but mostly it's a life of a slow cooker process. A life of sustained and consistent action that makes a difference for the long haul. Amen? And Michelle, would you come? I'm going to close in just a few moments here. That was Daniel's style, the marathon. He knew how to live for the long haul, and it was evidenced by the fact that he lived through 4 kings. Amen? How many of you know, guys, we're called to make a lifelong difference? You've heard me say this. We have a lot of sprinters in the kingdom of God. We really need some marathon runners, people who know how to go the distance. Amen? Daniel, that was Daniel. Think of his consistency and faithful in his prayer life, praying 3 times a day, Daniel did. Daniel made a difference throughout the reign of 4 kings that lasted about 70 years. It's estimated that when he died, he was well into his 80s, having lived a rich and full life and having made a godly difference through 2 empires and 4 kings. We can make a difference through direct or openly spiritual actions in an indirect way through a godly lifestyle. See, God uses both. He uses the moment and he uses the lifestyle. Amen? You guys okay? What is required of us is to be difference makers that turn up for work, that show up every day, that live a life that shows up and obeys. Every day, right where we are. Because where you are right now is exactly where God wants you to be. And you may be dreaming and pining for a future when you're going to make a difference. But the truth is God is asking you to make a difference and to be the difference right where you are right now. See, Daniel didn't have a choice. He had to be the difference where he was. And I'm sure his heart longed for home. But he had to make a decision. Am I going to be a difference in Babylon or am I not? Let's be honest. A lot of the world outside is Babylon to us. Amen? But we've got to be the difference in Babylon. We've got to be the difference in our communities. We have to be the difference in our schools and in our universities. Tell you right now, universities are looking more and more like Babylon as the day goes by. But we can't be afraid of Babylon. Can I say that one more time? It almost seems like there is a spirit of fear that's wanting to grab hold of the church and say, stay away from the evil world. We can't be afraid of Babylon because Babylon is where Daniel made the difference. That's why Jesus says, go into the highways and to the byways. Come on. Listen, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So why do I have to be afraid of the world? I'm not afraid of the world. I don't need to hide away from the world. I need to go into the world. We need to shine in Jesus' name and be a difference. Let the world see the goodness of God. Amen? I am not afraid of Babylon, and neither was Daniel. And he was ridiculed, and he was despised, and he was looked down on, yet he was the difference. Amen? Couple things, and I'm going to close. So I'm going to run through this real quick. 4 things that made Daniel different. The first is, He refused to conform to the ways of the world. He refused to bow to how the world does things, and he stuck with God's way. Second, he served by sharing the word of the Lord and using his God-given gift of interpreting dreams. Third, he served with godly wisdom and excellence. And fourth, he remained without compromise in his devotion to God and to prayer. This kind of lifestyle is rewarded with God's favor and protection, just as Daniel experienced. And Daniel is put in Scripture to give us hope and to give us an assurance that we can also be difference makers where we are. Amen? To be a difference maker, you have to be okay to be different and to live differently. Don't just live, and don't just live for yourself. Live like Daniel did. Live to make a difference, and live with passion for who Jesus is. I've been accused in my life of being passionate. That's a nice way of saying that guy can be unhinged sometimes. And I'm gonna close with this. Something that gets said to me a lot, I'm just gonna pull back the pastor curtain and let you see some of my insecurities. Something that's been said to me a lot is, man, you sure don't seem like a pastor. And at first that hurt my feelings. And so I tried to put on Saul's armor. And everybody would be like, well, you're not like Pastor Greg. I know. I'll try harder. I know I'll try harder to be like him. And I'll try to preach like him. And I'll try not to get excited. And I'll try not to let my expressive nature come out. And I'll try not to be a fighter. And I'll try to be quiet. And I'll try not to be enthusiastic. And maybe then I'll be a good pastor. And people will say, wow, you really seem like a pastor. And I lived under that, and it hurt. Until the day I'm on a phone call with Pastor Greg, the one that everybody, man, when you come out of the shadow of a giant, it's hard not to be compared to a giant. Amen? And what he said to me was, James, quit trying to be me. Take off Saul's armor and go scream from the rooftops if you want to. Go be passionate. Go be a fighter, because you are the man to take them into the next era. Moses is gone. Now, Joshua, go fight. And so, no, I am not like other pastors. I watch UFC. I listen to heavy metal. I get excited about Jesus. But I'm not afraid of Babylon. And these days need men like me. Not because I'm great. I'm not. God moves in spite of us. How many of us know that? But I can only be who God called me to be. And some people will love it and some people will hate it. And that's okay. I have to be a difference where God has called me. And so do you. That is our responsibility. Let's stand.